Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome again to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters, and I've been that way my whole life. So today is Super Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. And hope most people actually exercised their franchise. I always like that term, exercise your franchise. So I certainly did my duty today, went and voted. It's kind of a weird thing. You know, you're looking internationally and you see, you know, people in Iran choosing, like, I think a huge percentage of people chose not to vote because they really don't have any choice, because the mullahs basically say what your choices are, and they, as an act of protest, they're just not voting at all. And I kind of sometimes think about that when I think about this country, where we have a choice between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, which seems like a pretty bad rerun of Gilligan's Island to me. Meanwhile, there's actually campaigns going on, not only in Michigan, but actually even in Cambridge. When I went to vote today, there was some kind of scraggly character holding up this thing, urging me to tell Biden Massachusetts says no to genocide and I should vote no preference, which is kind of what they were doing in Iran too, right? Anyway, it just seems like the whole world's gone out of whack. So anyway, I did my duty. I am one of the 80 or so, approximately 80 super voters in the city who have missed an election since 1997 or earlier. In my case, I don't think I've ever missed an election. I think one thing, just a sort of a mildly comic thing, one of the things, I think people who vote regularly in presidential primaries may know this, but many people do not, which is that on the day of the presidential primary, you also get to choose your ward committees for whatever the heck those are useful for. I'm not so sure they're useful for much, but it tends to be a bit of a closed shop. I think oftentimes they'll put up a slate of candidates, where the slate is assembled by a partisan person who only wants their friends on it. So I'm in Ward 6. I was very carefully excluded. So I asked a few people to write me in. Apparently, you can get as few as 5 write-in votes. And I think they're entitled to elect 35 ward representatives. There were only about 15 or 18 or something even listed. So if I think I got my 5, so I'm going to get elected today. Me and Joe. Yeah. Anyway, I just thought it was kind of hysterical. Anyway, that's going on. And I suppose everybody can tune in for the excitement later on of seeing by what percentage Trump won the Republican primaries and what by what percentage Joe Biden won the Democratic primaries, and if there was even anything of any interest anywhere in the country. I somehow seriously doubt it. So anyway, it's going to be a very, very weird year. Now, getting back to the local stuff. So I certainly want to talk a little bit about some interesting things happening at City Hall. Actually, let me say something kind of complimentary right now, which some people may be shocked at from the eternal cynic that is me. But you know, when I've been tuning into Cambridge City Council meetings lately, and I think about the general demeanor of the current group of 9 city councilors compared to the last group, I'm going to come right out and say I think we've made a marked improvement. You know, there's a lot more collegiality, a lot less in the way of bomb throwers. Even the people who are, in my view, somewhat more radical seem to be a lot more reasonable than last term's crop of radicals. So I'm actually hopeful that maybe they can do some useful things. And I think coupled with a city manager who seems to understand that you can't just spend in unlimited ways, and that you actually have to think about priorities, goals and priorities. I'm gonna try and be optimistic about things. But let me just say right now that, and I'm going to sort of navigate around to something shortly here, but on the 28th of February, I went to a meeting of the city council's finance committee, where the topic was, you know, it was just general budgetary concerns. There had been a meeting, I think, in December, where it was first hinted at maybe Cambridge does not have an unlimited pool of money to spend on an unlimited pool of you know, nice ideas, you know, and that eventually the well might run dry. So this was, in a sense, part two of that. And, you know, and I think it was, you know, pretty good. I'm actually going to wander over here. Hopefully this works as it should. So there was a presentation at that finance committee meeting about the upcoming fiscal year. Again, for those who are less familiar, the fiscal year 24 began in the middle of 23 and then ends at the end of June of 24. So FY25 refers to the fiscal year that'll begin, that they're preparing the budget for right now, that will commence July 1st of this year and then carry on until June 30th of 2025. And, you know, I'm kind of glad that the Finance Committee co-chairs, which is Patty Nolan and Joan Pickett, are kind of shepherding this process. And I'm grateful, actually, for the city manager and the staff from the assessor's office and from the finance department and the whole gang of, you know, sort of basically putting some truth out there. So I'm just going to walk through a few little facts about this. So the executive summary pretty much says the essence here, you know, about preliminary projections for the upcoming fiscal year in terms of operating budget. And eventually they'll talk about the capital budget, you know, public investments as well. But, you know, they want to really make a clear connection that, you know, it's property taxes primarily that pay for everything. And we are limited under Massachusetts state law to just how much the budget can grow. And we often, we've been certainly trying to nurse our rather enviable excess levy capacity over the last, I don't know, 20 years. You know, something that began, a priority that began during the Bob Healey administration that actually gave us very preferential bond ratings that meant we could actually issue bonds to pay long-term capital projects, you know, at very good rates, you know, so it's something we've wanted to hold on to. But I've certainly been noticing over the last several years, you know, really the last 5 years, but certainly in very recent years, there's been a much more of an inclination amongst our elected officials to spend and for city managers to say yes. You know, something that Bob Healey was not exactly famous for saying yes all the time. You know, he helped kind of nurse our way through into very good fiscal stability along with people like Louis DePasquale and others. But right now we have a situation here where, and actually I'm going to sort of bounce around between this here, but we're kind of in a position right now where we've been wanting to fund a lot of things. And it's not, I'll show you another slide in a second of some of the initiatives. There was a big contract, school department contract just signed that it's going to cost us another $23 million. We continue to invest money, not just out of the Community Preservation Act funding, you know, the surtax to cover affordable housing costs, but we're actually been now in the practice in the last several cycles of dipping directly into the operating budget to fund those things as well. We also, you know, added the universal pre-K program, which is, you know, set to ramp up now, and a number of other significant initiatives. And the fact of the matter is that when you keep on adding on these things, that they all come at some cost, we've actually been seeing some pretty significant increases in the levy over the last few years. You know, and just looking around here quickly to sort of see if I have the list here, but you know, for the last several cycles, we were usually in the, you know, 5% increase in the tax levy per year. In the last couple of years, last few years, it's actually been growing at a much greater clip. Something in the tune of jumping up to like 7 or 8%. Actually, it was supposed to be about 9%, but it ended up being a bit less. But they're projecting it actually going up into the 10% plus range per year increases for the next couple of years. So again, let me just bounce back here and speak to this a little bit more. There's also less building permits being issued, and new building permits is new growth, which is exempt from Prop 2.5. That's actually been the secret sauce that helped us to, cover some of the big increases in the city budget. And if we don't have that much new, de we have, if we have less new development, less permitted development, we're not going to be getting that extra add-on tax levy or tax revenue to support the levy. So we're going to run into some problems. And what they basically say here is that, oh, and by the way, let's also mention that the residential properties have been growing in value rather in a scary kind of way. A lot of commercial properties have been relatively flat. And what that means is that you may very well start to see a tipping of things where some of the more and more of the tax burden gets shifted off of the commercial base, which currently pays approximately two-thirds of the levy, and it may start shifting onto the residential base. And that doesn't happen uniformly. Condominium owners typically get a really great deal, but single, two-family, three-family homeowners may very well see some very, very significant increases. So again, I'm not going to go through every last little bit of this presentation that the city staff presented on the 28th, but it kind of lays it out, and I think in a pretty good kind of almost like a lesson plan, explaining where the operating revenue comes from, primarily property taxes, and where it goes, which is, a lot of it is for paying for salaries and wages. But not all, and the amount of reliance on the property tax has actually been increasing over the last decade, and is expected to go even higher. And you may not think that going from 65% being covered on the by property tax and 35% from other revenue sources. But you may think that's not a big jump from 65 to 72, but it actually is a pretty substantial chunk of change, which has to be then, that burden is borne by the commercial property tax payers, as well as many of us residential taxpayers, right? So again, we have certain limits, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I wanted to just basically get to, I mean, they ran a few what-ifs, scenarios, just to sort of say, if we continue with the type of growth that we've been seeing, what would be the effect in terms of, we actually have a shortfall in terms of the budget. And if we actually see less growth, which is what we're expecting, we'll see a much more substantial shortfall, which means we have no choice but to dip into our levy, excess levy. The free cash, so to speak, and to start not only that, but also rather than leave excess levy capacity, we'll actually start pushing slowly but surely to our levy limit, which is what some cities and towns in Massachusetts, they live close to the limit and have to pass overrides and such whenever there's something significant that needs to happen. So again, there's a little chart here that kind of shows that our levy capacity, it was relatively stable up until now. We're keeping this a nice little gap between what we could tax people for and what we actually tax people at, right? Because nobody wants to really sock it to all the property owners all at once just to cover excess spending, right? But when you actually start looking at the operating budget over the next few fiscal years, it's growing at a significant way. But I want to draw a special attention to the bottom line here, which is that it would appear right now, the operating budget was growing at rates such as 6.6%, 5.4, 4.6, 7.1. But now it's in this current fiscal year, it appears to be growing at a 10.3% rate, and so on and so on. Now, in order to cover that, the tax levy has to grow as well, and so now. In the current fiscal year, though it was originally up around 9.something%, it actually is the tax levy, what we're actually taxing people, what we're collecting, is growing at a great rate of 8.3%, which I want to point out is faster than even our elevated inflation rate of earlier this year, or excuse me, a year ago. And now it's substantially greater than the rate of inflation. But in a kind of a scary scenario, the next two fiscal years, fiscal 25 and 26, we're growing, we'll have to start taxing like 10%, more than 10% increase in the tax levy every year. So they're projecting, trying to sort of slow it down and eventually bring it down under control, because the belief is that this is simply not sustainable, right? So this was the message of this finance committee meeting, is to sort of basically make that point clear. I think a lot of people were very drawn to this particular graph that showed that our excess capacity, meaning the difference between what we actually tax and what we could theoretically tax, has been decreasing, but then somewhat level, would be somewhat level if we stayed on a moderate budget growth curve. It'll still be decreasing nonetheless. But if we continue spending the way we have been spending, we will actually kill our excess levy capacity within a few years, and then be put into that unenviable position of many other Massachusetts cities and towns, where they actually have to ask taxpayers to vote for an override. I don't think anybody really wants to go there. So my sense is, listening and watching the counselors' reactions, is that they're open to the idea of doing a bit more shepherding of the city budget and controlling it so it's not growing like mad. And by the way, there are some of the big increases, as I mentioned earlier, is naturally going to be increases in city salaries and such, just because of cost of living increases and more. There is that recent negotiated contract with the schools, which is going to be a big, big jump. We're spending a lot more in debt service because we have a lot of stuff bonded. And basically this stuff adds up, and that's really the primary thing. I think I like the way the city staff phrased it. Says the city is at a critical inflection point and will need to take action to preserve future financial stability. Now, that doesn't mean we're in a crisis mode, but I think what they're basically, the message they're sending is, if we don't start now in turning the super tanker around, that super tanker is going to crash 4 or 5 years from now. So let's be smart. Let's start reining things in a little bit here, so that we're not spending at insanely high rates. So I thought it was a rather good presentation, kind of made the point in a forceful and very informative, I might even say educational way. I mean, maybe partly because we have some new counselors and even some of the counselors who've been on board for a while, they are not necessarily expert in thinking this way, especially since we've had this luxury of not having to think this way for a while. So I think the city staff did a great job in letting that be known. But there was one point I wanted to make on this, which is, I alluded to it, I just want to emphasize a little bit more, which is that if you actually look at what the increases are, and I'm not gonna put this up on screen, I'm just gonna hold it up here a little bit here. But if you actually look at what the increases have been, just as percentages in the last several years. And then you and you see what the actual dollar impact is in various property classes, right? If you, especially if you start shifting even more onto the residential side, right? I mean, Louis DiPasquale used to love to say, you know, that this year 80 some odd percent of or more of taxpayers will see less than $100 increase and in a given year. And that sounded great. So, you know, okay, fine, we'll get a little increase. We can live with that. That's fine. But then a few years ago, they stopped putting that message in there because it was no, they first they changed it. So, you know, 80% will see less than a $200 or $250 increase. So they were kind of upping the increases. You know, people maybe they thought people would consider that still reasonable. But in the last few years, that message has gone completely. You know, and I, you know, I could see it because I pay attention to these sorts of things. But the thing I want to emphasize about this is that it doesn't hit residential taxpayers uniformly. And I actually had a nice discussion with some of the city staff after the presentation on the 28th about that. And they simply didn't have the full story available. So that's why they didn't address it. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that most residential taxpayers now, the biggest part of the residential pie are condominium owners. And when you take the value of a condominium owner, you subtract off the $400,000 or so dollar residential exemption from that, they have a relatively small chunk that they pay their resident their taxes on. If you have a single family home or two family or a three family, even after you subtract off that residential exemption, you have a much bigger piece of taxable value that you must pay taxes on. So what I'm driving at here is that the way this works is that when there's an increase in a residential tax levy, it's going to fall very, very disproportionately on single family, two family, three family homeowners. Condominium owners really do get the sweetest deal in town. In fact, in fiscal, you know, when just for example, I'm just going to read off some numbers here. In fiscal 2020 up to 2024, if you were a single family homeowners, your taxes increase on average, as average across the city, $449 per year, $246, $545, $419, and this past year, most recent year, $743 increase. Okay, now you might think, well, so everybody got an increase. Meanwhile, over there with the condos, $43 increase, $3 increase, $33 increase, $107 decrease in your taxes, and then this most recent year, another $7 decrease in your taxes. In other words, even though the tax burden on you know, like just as for example, in the most recent fiscal 24, single family homeowner on average paid an additional $743. Two family owners paid an additional $494. Three family owner paid an additional $598. And condominium owners paid $7 less. So everybody needs to understand that that large number of condominium owners are actually getting deals, and then everybody else is getting hit with all of the changes. So nobody can exactly say that if we're going to be seeing a 10% or 10.5% increase in the tax levy, and if there's any shift from commercial onto residential, what is that really going to translate into? And, you know, I'm going to just suggest that single family homeowners may well come this fall see increases of $900 to $1,000 additional per year, right? And it keeps growing, right? And, you know, two families might see a $600 increase, three family owners might see a $750 increase on average, okay? Now, how this really works out, it's anybody's guess, but, you know, anyway, I was just grateful that we had that presentation because I think it kind of it provided a perspective that nobody's really talked about in recent years, and I think needs to be talked about. And I think actually I'm going to switch over here and do, so I think, do a little quick queuing up here, but just to kind of get a sense about just one more little quick shot of this here. There's a little pie chart just kind of showed that, where some of these significant increases are happening. I mean, actually, not just increases are happening, just the amount of money we're spending on certain desirable projects that maybe we didn't do in the past. So, on homelessness and housing stability, 15.8 million, throwing 44.7 million per year. And I remember a few years ago they talked about the $10 million or the $5 million plan, like that was going to be a big thing. Now we're up at $45 million, right? Again, it might be a very nice thought to spend the money on affordable housing, but the thing is it co does come at a cost. And I'll also throw in the fact that when you're building affordable housing, and I've mentioned this in the past, affordable housing, it comes with deed restrictions, so their taxable value is de minimis. So in fact, none of the affordable housing that's being built by the city or its partners is actually paying into the general fund more. They're all paying into the fund far less than the services they're actually consuming. So we have a bit of a unstable situation here. And again, I'm not going to go through all of this here, but if you look at some of these other measures of initiatives, environmental type initiatives, and Vision Zero and traffic safety, 12.3 million, 70.58 million. So it's not all bike lanes and such, but that's a big piece of it. And so it's stuff is not coming for free, and it's not coming for cheap. So you're either going to have to start cutting back some of these things, or we're going to have to start cutting back some of these things, or we're all going to have to just agree to pay some more, very potentially some significantly more residential property taxes and commercial property taxes as well. But I think the residential property tax increases are the ones that are really going to shock and awe some people unless we do something, and we do something soon. So, right. So anyway, that's a few things that I wanted to do up front. Spent probably a little more time on it than I had originally planned to, but I think it's kind of important. So I think what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to take an artificial break, so we can chop the program into two programs, and then I'll talk a little bit about some of the recent activities up at City Council meetings. So in a very artificial sort of way, thanks for tuning into Cambridge Inside Out, and I'll see you in a couple of seconds.